We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life tonight. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of St. John, chapter 14. The book of St. John, chapter 14. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so excited y'all have a new building and I get to preach in it. Lord Jesus, this is, give the Lord a hand clap for this magnificent temple. What a blessing. This is just God. Such a blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 14, I want to start reading. Oh, let's see. Let me get to it myself here. Let's start reading verse 10. Jesus is talking to Philip. Well, verse 9. Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? Who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Sometimes Jesus asks questions too. "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else, if you can't believe that, believe me for the sake of the works themselves." In other words, you can't believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Just believe what I do, because it can only take God to do what I do. This is what Jesus is saying to Philip. Next verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Let's stop for a minute. This is in red. How many of y'all, it's in red in your Bible? He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, or most assuredly I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." Have you ever done an inventory on the works of God? That's a big statement. I mean, he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. He fed 5,000 people with a two-piece fish dinner. That's good. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. He said, "The work that I do, you can do." And then that's a phenomenal statement. That's beyond human comprehension. But Jesus believes we can. Then he gets more radical. "And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." He's got a mission on his mind. Greater works. Now, think about that for a minute. Greater works than these? He said, "You'll do greater works than me." Now, when the Lord was dealing with me about this, he said, "Jesse, do you know you've preached to more people than I have?" I said, "What did you say, Jesus?" He said, "You've preached to more people than I've ever had." He said, "When I came," he said, "the technology of the world was very small. I preached to a very small amount of people. I preach to 2.5 billion people a week, the footprint of my television ministry." That's a greater work. Now, I didn't believe that till the Lord told me that. He said, "Notice that." He said, I never thought of it like that. But he believes I can do all that other stuff. Now, he actually believes that. See, our job is to believe that God can do his job. Now, you think that would be enough, because that's enough to stop your mind. "The works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." But then he gets flat radical. Oh, God. He says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name." Notice it took three words to make one word. Whatsoever. Whatsoever. He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, that's big. That goes beyond all homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thinking. Now, either you lying or God lying, I pick you. Then he gets slapped crazy in the next verse. "If you ask anything." Now, what's your definition of anything? "In my name, I will do it." Now, that's what he said. Now, you know what the church said? "Yeah, if you ask according to his will." No. Now, you don't want to put the will in it. He didn't say that. Now, we know you ask according to his will, but he didn't say that there. He said, "Ask anything in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father." When are we going to start believing the word of God? I want to talk tonight about the undeniable, staggering power of the church. This undeniable, staggering power. Because it boggles the mind. Now, Jesus can't lie. He believes we can do this. Now, where I got this sermon, I was driving down the road and I went past a cemetery. And this was a beautiful cemetery, one of the biggest cemeteries I ever saw in my life. And it was all manicured lawns, you know, like a golf course with beautiful headstones. This place was beautiful, beautiful wrought iron gates. And I mean, it was nice. And the Lord spoke to me. I was driving. He said, just think if you clean this place out, how many houses y'all could build in here? How many people could live in here? I said, what'd you say to you? He said, just think if you just clean this out. Go ahead, just clean it out right now. Go ahead, clean up. How many houses can be built in here? All this land. And how many families can live here? I stopped the car. I had to pull over. I said, what are you saying? He said, if you don't clean it out, I will. Now, I'm doing the same thing you're doing. Because everyone in a grave is going to come out. Everyone. He's going to clean house. I said, God, are you telling me go in there? He said, no, what I'm telling you is you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. I'm telling you, you can do this. I said, I don't think I can do this. Now, I'm not telling you to go tonight and go in a graveyard and desecrate a grave. Somebody going to arrest you. But if that person gets out of that grave and start walking around, they're going to leave you alone. You will not be arrested if the dead start walking and start talking. The thing I'm wanting to get to is, he believes you can do this. When will we believe in God like God believes in us? I said, Lord, I got to be honest. I can't do that. My faith is not there. He said, but it'll get there, Jesse. He said, come on, boy. I'm telling you, Jesse, you can do this. I said, you think I can? I said, yeah, you can do this, Jesse. I said, not today, not today. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. If you shall ask anything. Now, what is anything? Is a dress anything? Ladies? Yes. Is a car anything? Yes. Is a watch anything? Yes. Is miracles anything? Yes. So anything means anything. So if you ask something that is the definition of anything, it's not greed if it's an anything. Is it? So God don't mind you being blessed, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Because on your best day, you can't impress God with your wealth. He's got gold streets. You got asphalt streets. Holes in them about this big. You can't touch what he is in terms of his possession. He said, whatsoever you shall ask. Now, people get mad at me because I take that the way God said it. He said, whatsoever. I said, okay, here we go. Now, let me say this and then I'm going to get into this message. A lot of people think if they've been saved for 40 years, they get 40 years of faith. That's not true. No, no. I will use every ounce of faith I have before I lay my head down on that pillow tonight. But I promise you, by tomorrow morning, I will replenish myself. I'll stand in front of that mirror and greater is he who is in you than he is in the world. If I be for you, who could be against you? You say unto this mountain, be thou, remove me, not down, you will lead within. You see, I replenish myself. I use every bit of faith I've got every day. Faith does not reside. It doesn't reside. It don't stack up. Faith cometh. That's why sometimes you get healed, sometimes you don't. Because you used all the faith you had for that last sickness and you didn't replenish yourself. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I heard Kenneth Hagin say that. I stole that saying. I can use it now that he's in heaven. Oh, you're hearing what I'm saying? Faith cometh. It come by hearing. It don't come by heard. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Hearing. My Lord, when I'm not preaching a revival, I preach a revival to myself. I stood in my bathroom the other day, Kathy, when I preached to myself in front of my mirror for 45 minutes, gave an altar call and answered it. I just went forward. Spoke in tongues and interpreted. Thus saith the Lord God. I gave an offering and I received it. You think I'm kidding you? I'm serious as I can be about that. Faith cometh. It cometh by hearing. It don't stack up. It don't reside. You see, I was saying this the other day on TBN. Some of you might have saw me and they really got hush. I mean, you know, I love miracles, but you know, I ain't looking for one. Because if you need a miracle, chances are you're in trouble. You're just like a nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Lord God, you don't do something now, we're in trouble. And a miracle is a wonderful thing because a miracle, God's working for you. But I prefer to live in the blessing. If I live in the blessing, I have the ability to create miracles for others. I notice when God created Adam, he didn't give him a miracle. He gave him a blessing. And out of that blessing, he could create miracles. Now, I believe in miracles. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is I prefer to live in the blessing so I can create miracles when miracles are needed. Now, miracles, God works for you. Blessings, God works with you. With you, see. I like God working with me, senior partner, junior partner. Now, a man asked me, and not just the other day, I celebrated 30 years of full-time ministry. And I said something that really shocked him. In 30 years of full-time ministry, Bill, I've never had a financial deficit. That's a miracle of God. Because if you're going to do anything for God, the devil's going to attack your money. That's just common sense. But I've never had. I'll tell you why. Because I've lived in the blessing. I had God working with me instead of just for me. And I would learn from how he worked. I learned the business of the ministry as well as the work of the ministry as well as the manifestation of the ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? Then I realized, some people say, why you've never had a financial deficit? I'll tell you why. Because I never picked up the economic package of the curse. See, the whole world, Cambridge, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, now teaches you the economic stimulus package of the curse. It's called working by the sweat of your brow. Beat your brains out, work from day to day to try to make ends meet. But I picked up the economic stimulus package before the fall. That doesn't mean you don't work. The work that Adam and Eve were supposed to do was to keep the blessing and dress it. They weren't supposed to work by the sweat of their brow. They were supposed to work by keeping what God gave them and dressing it. Now, let me show you something. Before Adam and Eve ever got to the garden, all the provision was there. And there was no one there to use the provision. God put all the provision there before he created the man. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's the economic stimulus package of how God wants you to live. And he even put it in the most famous prayer of the Bible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? 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 As it is, where? What you waiting for? Now, Pastor Moore, the Bible said he made us the righteousness of God. Is that correct? That's what he said. So there's no way we can work for our righteousness, right? I mean, you know, because none of us have been righteous. He made us righteous. So if he made us righteous, then we don't have to work for righteousness. Why are you working for your money? Oh, you picked up the economic stimulus package of the curse. Now, that doesn't mean you don't stop working because that's lazy. You're supposed to work, but you're supposed to work to keep the blessing that God already has given you. Quit trying to become what you already are. You talk about a life of Christian frustration, trying to become something you already are. Now watch this. So I picked up that economic stimulus package before the fall. And all the provision was there. Did you know God? You didn't have to dig for gold in the Garden of Eden. God put fine gold on top of the ground because he knew Eve like jewelry. A woman going to figure out something to do with that gold. They didn't even have to dig it out of the ground. Go read it. It's in the Genesis chapter 2, I believe it is. It's on top of the ground. And their work was to keep it and dress it, which means if you don't keep it, you can lose it. And he's got that same. That's why his will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. He's working on that package. We've switched over to the package of the curse. Living from miracle to miracle, which miracles are good, don't misunderstand me. But I prefer to live in the blessing so I can create miracles. Now, I like miracles. It's called the working of miracles. I believe in that stuff. Don't misunderstand me. So I don't want to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I prefer to live in that blessing. I live in that blessing. I can create that miracle that someone may need spiritually, physically, or financially. So, and I answered that. And he said, well, how do I get to that package before the fall? I said, same way Adam did. The pathway to that is obedience. Amen. Just obeying what God said. And don't need to make an excuse. Sometimes God tells you to do some things that just don't make no sense. Can I tell you something that's going to shock you? You see this Bible? Y'all are watching by the end of it. This don't make no sense. It was never created to make sense. It was created to make faith. It's a faith factory. It's not a sense factory. It doesn't make any sense. The things it asks, it tells you to do are almost unbelievable. Pray for those that despitefully use you. You living in a dream world. Bless those that curse you. Come on. How many of y'all have been cussed out? Hold your hand up. Be honest. I mean a real good cussing. Hold your hand up. Somebody flat cussed you. Somebody really just put the cussing on you. Blankety blank, 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 blank. After they blanked you real good, did you say, I'm going to give you $20. I want to bless you right now. I'm going to bless you right now. No. They said, bless those that curse you. You didn't do that. You turned around, make sure Pastor Moore wasn't around. Then you went, you want to dance with me? You want some of this? I believe in healing, sucker. I'm going to break your leg in a minute. I'll show you how it works. Come on, leapfrog. No. It doesn't make any sense. But it does make faith, doesn't it? Do you see that? What is faith? Well, now faith is. So why are you trying to prolong it? Now faith is. That's a statement. It's over. A substance. Or now faith is the substance of things. There we go with that anything. Things. Everybody freak out about things, especially the prosperity message. Oh, and I believe that prosperity message, they all want things. What do you think God gave you faith for? Now faith is the substance of things. The evidence of. There we go with them things again. God don't mind you having things. Church world does. Secular world does. I got shut down the other day. Pastor Moore, it was so funny. You can tell when somebody's mad at you. And you don't have to know them. I walked off the plane. There was somebody. A man and his wife. And she's just shaking her leg. I said, oh Lord, here we go again. So I walked up there. They said, excuse me. Oh, you Jesse Duplantis? I said, no, I'm Robert Shula. How you doing? Yeah. Just blame Robert, you know, in Whitehead. Blame it on Robert. I'm tired of people fighting me. Leave me alone. I said, yes, I am. Is that your jet? I said, yes. I don't think preachers ought to have jets. I said, I don't think I asked you. Did I ask you? Made me mad as a hornet. See, I can say that because I don't pastor. You want some of me? You want to dance with me? Made me mad. I could feel Tabasco sauce coming up my lip. And I was enjoying it. I ain't lying. I was enjoying it. I said, who does this fool woman think she is? I want to tell you, slap her. You know, but I wouldn't do that. But I mean, just, I don't do that. I would never do that. Well, we just don't think preachers ought to have jets. I said, Hillary Clinton got a jet. They went. I said, Barack Obama got a jet. John McCain got a jet. Huckabee got a bus, but he believing for a jet. He trying to get a jet. And you know what them fools said? Were they campaigning? I said, what do you think I'm doing? I'm campaigning for Jesus. What do you think I'm doing? I am trying to make Jesus the nominee of your life. I am on a campaign. Now get out of my face. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. Whatsoever. Go through the works that I do. Say that so easy. Oh, Jesus. And greater works than these shall you do. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, if you try to think them in sense, they make no sense. But then this makes faith. This is not designed to make sense. That's why people that don't have no faith cannot define it. You ever seen them on Larry King? You ever seen them? I mean, Keith, you can answer that question like that. Not that we're smarter than them, but we are. We just are. It's a fact. We're spiritually smart. They're just spiritually blind. They're trying to make sense out of something that's not made to make sense. It's made to make faith. You see what I'm saying? So when he says, ask anything in my name, church says, that's just too strong. If according to be thy will, and if I just suffer, if I just suffer a little bit more. No, you put all that in there. He didn't put all that in there. Now, he provided all that provision before Adam and Eve were ever there, right? You know you did the same thing? How many of you have had children? Hold your hand up. Did you notice before the baby ever got to the house, you had the diapers, the formula, the baby blankets, the clothes, the baby bed. The baby never once bought a diaper. Where do you think you learned that from? Huh? Where do you think you learned it from? You provided all provision for that child before that child ever hit the ground. Amen. Now, they use them diapers, but they don't pay for them. When Meredith want to use that diaper, she don't care if you're there. She'll just let her rip, buddy. She just smiles because she knows a new one's coming. And I am amazed how God has said, Kathy, I can't help it. I'm amazed how Kathy and my son-in-law and my daughter can get excited over what a baby does in its diaper. Oh, look at this. No, I ain't looking at it. I don't want to look at it. Come on. Well, you the grandfather. I don't care about the grandfather. I ain't looking at all that, for God's sake, man. Oh, you got to see that. No, I ain't got to see that. I just does not excite me. Write this down if you're taking notes. In order to believe on him or in him, you must know him. See, the problem with Christianity, most people are believing. They never get beyond belief. They sound like an auctioneer. I'm believing. I'm standing on the word. I'm believing. I think I'm believing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this thing to work. Paul said, I know. In whom I have believed. I know. So in order to believe on him or in him, you have to know him. Now, how do you know him? Life is defined by relationship. But there's a deeper walk than relationship. It's called fellowship. You see, church time, ladies and gentlemen, is not throne time. People, the only time they ever think about God's when they go to church. Church time is not throne time. Church time is school time, where you learn and then you go out in the world and apply what you learn. Throne time is you and God one-on-one. Now, I'm going to say something. Don't judge me when I say this. Pastor, I don't pray very much. I really don't. I really don't pray very much. Oh, that boy, I'm going to get some ugly letters on that. Why? Because praying is always asking, Lord Jesus, Lord, oh Lord, help me Jesus. Oh, Jesus, please, come on. I don't do much of that. I don't do any of that. I have fellowship with him. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesse. We talk to each other. How does he know me? I fellowship with him. How do I know him? I fellowship with him. Either way, both ways. That's called throne time. We get together. I say, hey, God. He said, hey, Jesse. How many times God's woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning? 3 o'clock in the morning. I just got to bed at 2 o'clock. And I go, Jesus. What? What? And he goes, nothing? Huh. I am as serious as I can be. I said, we got to sleep down here. He said, I know. I want to talk to you. Come on, let's talk. And I think he's going to send me on a project or give me something to do.
Command you me, Lord.
No, he just want to talk. He want to hang out, for lack of a better term. And we get to know each other. Now, some people say, I know Jesse. No, you don't. You know about me. Now, Keith and Phyllis know me. Why? Well, we've been together. We've eaten lunch together. We've rode together on motorcycles. He's been to New Orleans. I've been to Branson. We've been on a boat together. All kinds of stuff. And that's how you get to know people. You see what I'm saying? It's called fellowship. And life is defined by relationship. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. The reason why Jesus could say those unbelievable, impossible things about you, because he knows you. But you may not know him like he knows you. He knows the ability of what you can do. And even the devil does. But he don't want you doing it. So in order to believe on him or in him, you must know him. Now, when you believe on him, his faith and your faith coincides. I had a man ask me one time, boy, how do you move in the gifts of the Spirit? You're not afraid you're going to miss it? Well, no. I'm not believing for it. I'm not praying before church. Oh, Lord, let me miss it. That's a dumb thing. Well, how do you know it's going to work? Your faith, my faith, and his faith coincide. It comes together. He said, if two of you will agree. I've been in a whole church where I couldn't get one person to agree. A whole church. Because they didn't understand the word. When you believe on him or in him, his faith and your faith coincides. So it always works. Now, it always works for me. Now, some people don't believe in hundredfold, but I do. Why? Because it does. It works for me. Why are you believing in a hundredfold? I need it. If you have to pay what I pay on television, you'd understand. Because what I pay in a month's time, some people won't make in a lifetime. You're talking some money here. I get so tired of paying the heathen world money. ABC. I'm on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, PBS, Daystar, God Channel, TVN, World Harvest. What else, Catholic? Lord, I don't know. Just bunches of them. Well, the Lord said, why don't you let them pay you? Sound good to me. Well, why don't you just put the satellites up there? You think I'm kidding you? I said, satellites. I call NASA. I said, what costs a good satellite? What's a good satellite that I could beam all over preaching the gospel? Plus, I can sell time on it and also cell phone companies and everybody else buying all that kind of stuff. They said $500 million. Oh, I said, how much it costs for y'all to fly it up? $100 million. Whoa, $600 million for one. I said, well, to touch the whole world, I need 14. I need 7 low orbit and 7 high orbit. I've already studied this out. I said, how much y'all cost? They said, $100 million to bring it up. I called Russia. They said, we'll do it for $20 million. One phone call, I save $80 million. One phone call. I serve a Jewish God. He don't pay no retail. Jesse don't pay no retail. Jesse don't pay no retail. Now, that's not today, but it's coming. And not long ago, I sat on and ate dinner in Wall Street with about 15 high-dollar people. With $100 billion represented at the table. $100 billion with a B. And they heard about my idea. They said, Reverend, what can we do for you? I said, nothing. And I said, why did I say that? God said, tell them nothing. Because they're not going to meet it. I am. And I said, nothing. I just want to have dinner with you all today. Man, that sounds so interesting. Yeah, yeah. Whenever you're ready, we'd like to get involved. I thought to myself, we're going to make them an offer. Now, if I was wearing this suit, they'd have understood what I was talking about. This is my mafia suit. Hallelujah. You do what you got to do. You understand? I can't get over it. They're still calling me about that. The time, Lord, it's not yet, but it's coming. Oh, and when it does. Think about that, Keith. We'll be all over the world preaching, and no one could ever take us off. Not, never. And watch this. The wealth of the sinner is now paid to the church. What are you going to do with all the money when you don't have to pay all the television time? You're talking an average year of $3 billion in income. What would it be? Billion. Not billion, the jets. Billion. Billion. I'm spitting all over myself. When I get around billions, I start spitting. Praise God. Now think about it. Put any preacher you want on for free. What are you going to do with that money? What are you going to give it away? What else can you can't spend it. Some of y'all said, I like to try. No. See, when you know him, your faith and his faith coincide. Now, faith in Jesus' word catapults you to another level. Write that down. Faith in Jesus' words catapults you to another level. I've had many ministers say, how do I get my ministry to another level? See, they think, well, just can you open up a door? And I can open up doors. As far as television, I can open up doors. I mean that pridefully. I can't. I'm known all over in that world. I said, but what you do, if you want to be catapulted into another level of ministry, you got to have faith in Jesus' words. You got to believe that you can do anything he says you can do. Not try anything he said you can do, but believe it. And then you got to develop it beyond belief to I know in whom I have believed. Because see, faith cometh. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Kept the faith. The only way faith doesn't work is if you don't keep it. You have to keep it. And you have many people trying to pull it from you, and they don't even realize that they're trying to do that. They think they're trying to help you, that you don't get into what we call crazy belief. No, you just believe in what Jesus said. So faith in Jesus' words catapults you to another level. I remember years ago, my God, when you pray for a television ministry, you don't have any idea what you're saying. Because that's pure work. Because you see, you got to stand in front of that camera. And if you don't feel like it, it don't make no difference. You still got to do it. Well, I don't look good. It don't mean you don't look good. My makeup is not put on right. We don't care. Put some more on. It don't make no difference. Because see, and then you got to shut up. Because they're doing 10, 9, 8, 7. But I want to talk more. They're going to cut you off. You have to be in this time frame. You have to work that thing. That's not easy to do that. First time Kathy ever did tags with me. We call openings and closings. I said, now, Kathy, don't get nervous. Oh, no, I won't get nervous. When they start counting us down. I said, because there's a lot more time there than you think. 10 seconds is a lot longer than you think. She said, okay, Jess, I got it. So I said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put the camera by my face. I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited today. My wife is with me here here at our studio. And you know, Kathy, the Lord's been doing some great and mighty things. Great and mighty things, Jess said, the Lord's doing great and mighty things. And Marty going, they showed 15 seconds. I said, well, you know, partners, we want to thank you for believing in us. Kathy, everything to say to the partners? They're going, 10, 9. She said, I want to thank all your partners. Whoa, slow down, baby. It's just an automatic. It's going to happen. She said, my God, man. She finished at 4 seconds. I said, slow down, we got to back it up. And sometimes you make the dumbest mistakes. I've had Abraham in the ark and Jesus in hell. Just get all mixed up. Forgot to pray over that program. Lord, help me. One time, Kathy was sitting in the audience, and I said this. I was making an appeal for a project. I was saying, you know, if you want to be a part of this project, I said, listen, write me. Ask me for anything. I'll give it to you. Kathy was like, no! No, cut! I said, what did I say? Oh, don't. I said it backwards. I said, but wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that? One day I am going to say this. You mark my words. I'm going to put it on tape today. One day you're going to hear Jesse the Planner say this. Watch about this undeniable, staggering power of the church. One day I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I have an emergency. I need your help right now. If I don't hear from you, I got trouble. Listen to me. Don't send me no more money. We got too much. Jesus. We don't know what to do with all this money. We got box cars of money. Oh, God, help us. Wouldn't that be what? Well, a preacher did do that. His name was Moses. Stop him. We got too much. Had to refrain them. Shut them down. My God. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. See, St. John 14:12 started the movement of Christianity. Why? Because he said, I go to my Father. That started the movement of Christianity. It was a proclamation that Christ's work would continue. People say, how come you don't have trouble? Well, I have trouble, but I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. It's called the hope of glory. I'm in Christ, see? I prefer to stay in Christ instead of be in crisis. You follow what I'm saying? When I see this, I said, you believe I can do this. So as I develop my faith by hearing, not by heard, and keep replenishing and replenishing and replenishing, it's like building a muscle. You know, you tear it down, and then when you eat food with protein, it builds it back up a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, and then you begin to get what we call body mass. It's the same way with Christianity. It begins to build, see. But if you hit and miss it, just like an exercise, it won't work. Growth will not be there. So St. John 14:12 started the move of Christianity. It was a proclamation that Christ's work would continue. Now, the realm of faith begins and ends with the Word of God. Notice it begins with the Word of God. It ends with the Word of God. Why? Because it's your final authority. Let me explain that. I start my day with the Word of God. I close my day with the Word of God. I've had people say, you know, Bill, some people think I'm a success. I don't know what a success is. You know, everybody has a different definition of success. Okay? Some people think a millionaire is a lot of money. A millionaire to me is not a lot of money. Not when you have to pay what I pay. Now, when I wasn't doing what I was doing, You see what I'm saying? But it's not that you're better than anybody, it's just different levels. Well, let me give you a prime example. And you know, people always, they just think things that are really not there in a sense, you know. Well, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do this? I have some people, they say, you know, people like you, why don't you get involved in politics? The Lord didn't call me to be a politician. No, I'll never do that. I'm going to say never, because if God tells you to do something, you do it. But he hadn't called me to do that. But I'm always got, because I'm on television, I got a lot of politicians coming at me. You know, would you endorse this? Would you do this? Do this? Do this? And you got to be very careful. You see what I'm saying? Because what happens is, you know, they're trying to take our rights away from the church. You, now you can't pray at a football game. You still could do that. Can't pray at a school. No, can't.
Call separation of church and state.
Okay. But now they want to get involved in the church. So I tell them, you built the wall, so stay on your side of the wall. You the one built the wall, so stay on your side of the wall. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to stand up for what's right. Now, I'm willing to go to jail for what's right. Do I want to go to jail? No, I don't want to go to jail. But I'll go to jail. Paul went to jail. Jesse go to jail. I'll go to jail in a second if I'm believing what's right. See, there's some countries I can't preach Romans chapter 1. Cannot. I will go to jail. They will arrest me. It's called hate speech because Paul talks about homosexuality. Can't say that. Well, if the Lord tells me to talk about homosexuality, I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to just say, Kathy, get some money and bail me out of jail. If they'll let me out, I'm going to preach the gospel. It makes no difference. Because, you see, I really believe that this thing could revert like it did in the first century of the first Christian. We're slowly eating away our rights. Because Christians won't say nothing. I had a man the other day tell me, this black man, he was a real precious friend of mine. He said, I said, y'all get more things done. I love black people. You know why? Black people get in the streets. White people, I don't want to mess, just leave me alone.
Black people, will tell you what, man. We shall overcome. Right.
White people, overcome what? I don't want no problems. And slowly the little foxes spoil the vine. We better start standing up for what the church believes, ladies and gentlemen. We better start. That realm of faith begins and ends with the Word of God. It's our final authority. So when people try to talk to me about the Word of God that are not schooled in the Word of God, I say, excuse me, don't argue with me over this because you're going to lose. You don't know what you're talking about. You see, I don't mean that rudely or pridefully, it's just the truth. You're walking on ground that you know nothing about. I've been to church, so has the devil. Whoopee-doo. You see what I'm saying? Now, talk on the level where you've been schooled at, then that's fine. But when you get over this certain level, no, you're not going to get there. Because this is your biggest statement. Why don't God just stop all this stuff? It's not his job. He doesn't do your job, and you shouldn't be doing his job. That's your job, to stop this stuff. Because the earth is the Lord, or the heavens belong to the Lord, the earth hath he given to the children of men. Psalms 115, verse 16. So the word of God must begin your day and end your day. Now watch this. A man the other day, he was worried about me working too much. I do preach a lot. I am the biggest jet fuel buyer in the city of New Orleans on general aviation on the private side. I buy thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons of jet fuel. I'm flying anywhere from 3 to 4 or 5 cities a week, going constantly all the time, preaching the gospel. So I guess sometimes I do look tired. You know, and then people come up to you. And they mean nice, but they try to get spiritual.
You know, Brother Jesse, you need to slow down, Brother Jesse.
So you're going to speak a heart attack on me now? Nah, I'm not being stupid. I mean, you got to take care of your body. But you know, you can tell. And then they get spiritual.
You know, the Lord created the earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested.
Do you think he rested because he was tired? No. Think about it. You think God said, boy, that last cosmos did me in, man. I tell you what. I mean, that Milky Way galaxy was easy, but that Andromeda one, it just took it out of me, man. I got to go lay down. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was finished. I will rest when I am finished. And I'm not finished yet. Do you understand that? This undeniable, staggering power of the church. He believes we can do these things. So laziness must not be a part of the work of God. I refuse to be lazy. And people think, oh, it's easy to preach the gospel. All you got to do is preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Let me give you a word. Your mama, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're about ready to go to work 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you get on television, you can't even go to the bathroom by yourself. I got people go to the bathroom with me. I may be in a mall with Kathy. I said, people say, you just went, yeah, I want to talk. I said, excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll go with you. No, I'd rather go by myself. I mean, they'll stand outside the stall and wait for you. and you just can't concentrate. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But I mean, that this is, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. You think I'm kidding you? And you got people to say anything anywhere. Just come up with all kinds of stuff. And want you to fix 30 years of marriage problems with 30 seconds. The only way you do that is take a gun. Boom, boom, kill both of them and it's over. That's how you fix that. No, you can't do that. Takes more than 30 seconds. Jesus. I look at me and say, good, are you living in a dream world? You took 30 years to mess your life up and you only fix it in 30 seconds. This undeniable, staggering power of the church. Now, how do we get that? How do we do the works that Jesus done and do it greater? How can we, whatsoever we ask, we know we'll get it if we ask anything. How do we get to that point that we have to watch what we say because we get it? Ooh. Ooh. Now, once you get to that level, you must be superior to that power instead of driven by it. That's why politicians and preachers mess up. God gives them this power. Instead of being superior to it, they're driven by it and they destroy themselves and the work that God's called them to do. Let me show you how you get there. Write this down. Faith, commitment to your faith, and love to your commitment to your faith. Let me say it again. Faith and commitment to your faith and love to your commitment to your faith are the building blocks for doing greater works. You have to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Now, you got a man that can preach faith like no one else in America can. Y'all are sitting at the best. And I'm not just saying it because you're my friend. Keith can flat shuck the corn. I'm in his face. In all areas, but the whole scripture. But what I'm saying is that but you got to have commitment to your faith and love to your commitment to your faith. Those are the building blocks for doing greater works. And you get to a point that you have to watch what you say. A man asked me not long ago. He said, Brother Joseph, can I ask you something? I said, yes, sir. Looked like you were going to ask me anyway, so I knew it was coming. You know? I said, yes, sir. What do you think about the lottery? I want to say, go ask your pastor. I know he didn't ask his pastor about that lottery. What do you think about the lottery? I said, what are you asking me? Well, have you ever bought a lottery ticket? I said, no, sir, I never have. Oh, then you think it's wrong. I said, no, you said that. I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth. I say what I say. You say what you say. I didn't say that. You said that. Well, the reason why you hadn't bought a lottery ticket is because you think it's wrong. I said, no. No, you said that. I didn't say that. Well, why haven't you bought a lottery ticket? I said, because I'd win. You think I'm kidding you? I would win. You think I would win? Oh, I know I'd win. Satan would see to fit that I'd win. Because if I get $200 or $300 or $400 million in the bank and I come to preach to you, you got to stand on the word of God by faith. Yeah, it's easy for you to say you got $300 or $400 million in the bank. They ain't going to believe a message at all. The reason why I hadn't bought a lottery ticket is because I don't live my life by chance. I live my life by faith. You understand what I'm saying? You think I'm kidding you? I'm serious. I would win. I had a guy say, well, listen, you don't want it. Let me win. Give it to me. I said, nah. And then he asked me, what if somebody won the lottery and gave you the money? Would you take it? Yeah. Why? Belongs to me anyway. Well, for the sinner, later for the judge. We were preaching in Las Vegas at David Sheeran. I don't know if you know David Sheeran, a precious man of God. Him and Vicky Sheeran. One got a great church there in Las Vegas. And we were staying at the Venetian Hotel. I walked by and I don't like casinos because they're smoking them things, you know. So I said, where's the exit to get into the hotel without going through the casino? They want you to go through the casino. That's where they make their money, you know. And all that kind of stuff. So we found an exit that we could go through at the Venetian, which is, and I love the Venetian Hotel. Oh, God, man, if you think there's a shortage of money, go to Las Vegas. There's no shortage of money. It's just in the wrong hands. It's just in the wrong hands, ladies and gentlemen. So, I heard this. Lady says, I won. I felt like saying, that's my money. Give me my money. Well, for the sinner, later for the judge. Now, how can God legally go take the sinner's money and give it to you? How can he do that?
Let's just think some common sense. If you was a sinner, Jack, right? Okay, if you was a sinner, you're not a sinner. But if you were a sinner, how could God just take your money out your pocket and give it to me? That would be wrong, unless he has a legal right to do it. I said, God, how can you say such a thing? That the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. How can you go get somebody's money and give it to us? He said, when I created the world, I didn't create it for sinners. There were none. I created the world for my children. You wanted my kids. That's why I can legally go get the sinner's money. I said, go. Do you see that? When he created the world, he didn't create it for sinners. Now, if money is so bad, how come you work for it every week? Get mad if you don't get it. Right? It must not be bad, is it? It can't be bad because you're working for it. And you even retire on it. Jesus wasn't born 10 minutes. There's three rich guys looking for him. Three wise guys. Made him an offer. He couldn't refuse. It's some gold. It's some frankincense. Some do what you got to do. Okay. I was raised with Italians. I'm sorry. I'm a Frenchman, but my whole block was Italians. My grandpa used to say, that boy should have been an Italian. Well, when you live with Italian, you think like an Italian. I love the Italian people. You do what you got to do. You understand? That's how I was raised, the streets of New Orleans. I can't go any further than that, but that's how I was raised. Faith, commitment to your faith, and love to your commitment to your faith are the building blocks for doing greater works. See, because he believes you can do this. Now, if he said keep the faith, and if he told Adam to keep it, and he didn't, then it's our job, because it's already been gotten back through the last Adam, to keep what he's already given us. To keep it. So, I don't deal with recessions because I don't live by the economy of the United States or the state of Louisiana or the city of New Orleans. I live on an economic stimulus package before the fall. I expect and I have. Just like the baby. They don't care if you're sleeping. Get your ugly self up. Fix this diaper and give me something to eat. But it's 2:30 in the morning. Boy, I tell you what. I saw my daughter and my son-in-law, a couple of weeks ago. They hadn't slept in about 2 weeks. They said, boy, Dad, we're so tired. I went, payback time, Jody. Payback time. Keep them up, Meredith. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, that guy. Just payback time. I never could figure out why God thought David was the greatest king of Israel. Because if you think about it in sense knowledge, natural, he just didn't have it. His daddy didn't like him. His family didn't like him. Think about that. They kept him on the back of a mountain tending sheep. He was weird. He's a musician. You know how the musicians are, man, tell you what, them sheep, man, cut them sheep, boy. Whoa, man. You know how musicians are. You know, say, man. You know. His daddy didn't like him. Samuel asked Jesse for all of his sons to come, that God would elect a king of Israel. They didn't even go get David. They didn't want David. Not David. David's strange. He sings the sheep. Bad sheep. Bad to the bone. Bad. Bad to the bone. Then he comes and he says, Dad, I'm going to tell you something, Dad. I'm going to tell you something, Dad. I'll kill a lion and a bear, Dad. Boy, he's been smoking that dope again. He ain't no way to kill no lion, no bear. He even confused the prophet. Samuel, probably the greatest prophet ever walked in shoe leather. The reason why I believe that, because God never let one word fall from his lips that he did not make come to pass. Now, that's big. I don't think there's any other prophet that ever had that. Whoo, Samuel. Man, people worried about Samuel. He come to town. You ain't mad today, are you? You mad? I hope you got up on the right side of the bed. What have you say God going to do? Sammy, one tough cookie. He's confused. All these guys that look like kings, he goes, Jesse, you got any other sons? Yeah, but you don't want to see him. He's a musician. He'd kill a lion and a bear. You know, he sings the sheep at night, writes songs. He's weird. He's redheaded. He's a little weird. Go get him. Go get him. Here come David. I wonder how long he's been out of the house. Probably he come in. What's up, y'all? Sammy, you the man. You the man, Sam. What's up? Had that walk with him. Had that little lean, you know. What's up? What's up, hey? Yeah. This boy is something. He's good looking now. Your Bible said he had beautiful eyes. You know your Bible says that about David's eyes. He had beautiful eyes. What do women like? Eyes. They love eyes. Just look at me, honey. Just look at me, sweetheart. Men don't care if you're blind. They ain't looking at your eyes. What about your eyes? They're looking at other parts. And that was one of his greatest weaknesses, which stopped his greatest desire. Beware that your greatest weakness will stop your greatest desire. His greatest weakness stopped his greatest desire to build the temple of God. But what made him so great? It showed up. When his daddy said, David, go down there and bring your brother some cheese, crackers, and bread. Okay, Dad. Down there and run. Boy, he come running into the camp. This boy can run, son, because he kill a lion and a bear. Oh, you know he got anointed by Samuel, but it didn't change his position anytime. As soon as they anointed him, get your tail back up now. He went right back to the mountain tending sheep. I don't care how much anointing you got. The anointing works when God has the position and the plan for it to work. He will give you the anointing before it. And some people step out on something they should not step out on. Notice he was anointed. Get yourself right back over there. And he's back on the mountain tending sheep. Till one day daddy called him and said, go down there. He comes running in. And there's those brothers that are jealous of him. You come to see the battle. He didn't know there was a battle going on. He said, I just come here. Well, you got a problem here? I just come here to bring you some food, man. Then he hears this cussing giant cursing. And he noticed everybody in the tents. Oh, Lord. He turns around. Y'all gonna let this uncircumcised Philistine curse the army of God and the nation of God? This is a 17-year-old pimpled-faced kid. But he's anointed. Now the position opens up for his anointing to operate. He said, I'll fight this boy. Now, it's like a typical teenager. I can take care of this. But what made him so great is when he said this. Is there not a cause? See, he understood cause and effect even as a teenage boy. Cause is the most important thing on the planet. Why do you do what you do? What moves you to that position? It's cause. We're all working together for a common cause. We are armed with divine authority. Is there not a cause? I'll fight this guy. Now, this is a big guy. But everything David says is not making sense, but it is making faith. Because in actuality, he's speaking the oracle of God. And somebody remembered it and wrote it down. So scripture's coming out of his mouth and he doesn't even know it. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to the Ephesians, to the Galatians. Actually, he is writing holy canon. But in his mind, he's writing to the Ephesians. But yet God is writing the book through the words of men's mouths. So he goes out there, and you know the story, with a slingshot. Now that make the devil mad.
when you don't use his weapons? What, you gonna throw rocks at me? You gonna throw a rock at me? All your brothers are in the tent crying, and your big Saul King, he crying too. But you see, this boy's got cause of his mind. He said, you may have some power, but I come against you in the name of God Jehovah. I'm a covenant man, and you're not a covenant person. Now, he picked up five rocks, but he only used one. You only need one against the devil. But why did he pick up four? Because David had four brothers. Goliath had four brothers. He got all of them. He got all the boys of Gath. He said, now, I know I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your brother. And your ugly brother, the ugly one, I'm going to kill him too. I'm going to take him out. And he did. And he cut that sucker's head off, slinging blood and brains all over that battlefield. He said, now this is how you get ahead in life. Don't you see this? I know it's corny, but it's fun. My point is this undeniable, staggering power. A rock is not going to knock down this big giant unless the anointing is on the rock. And the anointing, it'll always go where it's supposed to go. And it doesn't need much room to accomplish what it needs to do. Do you see my point? He had cause in his life. You know why Osama bin Laden is feared so much? And Saddam Hussein was it? Because Osama bin Laden got a cause. He's a very wealthy man, worth over $300 million. But he sleeps in caves. Now, Saddam ain't going to sleep in no cave before they kill him. I mean, he's going to be in palaces. Because he just wants some money and greed. But you see, Osama bin Laden got a cause. In his mind, it's a cause. And he'll sleep in rocks. And you have to move him every two hours or whatever. But he don't care. You see, because in his mind, there's a cause. What made the Apostle Paul so great? Because you see, as Saul of Tarsus, a bloodthirsty persecutor, he had a cause. He said, I'll kill every Christian. And he'd pull them out and destroy them in the streets. You get somebody like an Osama saved that understands cause, they can change a world. Do you see that? What was Jesus? What made Jesus Jesus? He had a cause. I came that you might know the Father. His cause was prominent in his life. Do you see what I'm saying? And when you understand that cause, then you understand this undeniable, staggering power of the church. Now, let me close with this. The work God told us to do must be clearly evident. It must be clearly evident and unmistakably authenticated. If we believe in healing, we need to get healed. If we believe in blessing, we ought to be blessed. If we believe in love, we ought to love people. And I want to tell you something, I have a hard time hating anybody. Now, I've learned something. You can hurt my feelings, but you can never offend me. Oh, no, you will never offend Jesse DePlan. I'm going to say it. You will not offend me. I didn't say you couldn't hurt my feelings. You can hurt my feelings. But I live above offense. You will not offend me. Why? Because I don't want to become you. I don't want to become what I don't like. I saw that in that woman when she asked Jesus, Lord, help me, my daughter. And he said, I don't give meat to the dogs. Now, most people have got offended right there. If you go to pray, he said, Pastor Mo, would you pray for me? I ain't got time to pray for you. What's the matter with you? You're nothing but a dog. Think, if I ever come down to that church again, you're living in a dream world. But she kept coming at it. And then the disciples kick her away. Now, most people, he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Most people preach right there. But what I saw in that passage was she could not be offended. She said, I've come in there. He's got an answer. And I'm going home with an answer. And she got her answer. So if you learn to live above offense. I've had Kathy tell me in the beginning of my ministry, why do you go back to that person? He's stealing from me. How you doing that? I said, well, I'm going back to help me, not to help him. So I never become what he is. You see what I'm saying? And the day will come when God will handle that. But if I go to handle that, I'm going to hurt something that I shouldn't touch. So the best thing to do is me to leave it. I don't like that scripture. It's vengeance in mine. No, let it be mine. You take too long. You can wait for them to repent. And we don't want them to repent. We want to slap them. Just hurt them a little bit. Just do something. Just don't love them. Hurt them, Jesus. No. When God told me to believe for my mother-in-law to get saved, I backed up and said, if she go to heaven, I'm going to hell. I am not spending eternity with that woman. Did I say it, Kathy? I could not stand that woman. She hated me and I hated her. I want to tell you something. You never seen hatred. It was just brutal. We could. I told her I'd kill you, but I just don't want to go to jail for killing you. You ain't. We're getting out. Total, complete hate. And I got saved.
and the Lord. Use Irene. Even the name Irene would make me cringe. Irene. Irene. I said, you want to get rid of the devil? Send Irene down there. He'll commit suicide in 2 weeks. I am not exaggerating. We could not be in the same room. Oh, it was bad. Cuss each other out like a drunken saint. Just hate each other. And the Lord said, I've assigned you to pray for her. I went like, Cain, my punishment is greater than I can bear. You know what my first prayer for? Okay, Lord, kill her, Jesus. Just do something, man. I don't like this woman. I don't like this. I hate her. He said, well, get it all out. But I ain't changing my mind, Jesse Duplantis. I've assigned you to pray for her. You are going to pray for her. I fasted and prayed for God to change his mind. I am not exactly. I did not like that one. Oh, man. I was willing to give eternal bliss with God if she were going to be there. Nope. I was wrong. But God knew I could handle that. Then I forget one time. we used to go over there for Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve or something. I can't remember. And she tells Kathy, boy, my knees are hurting bad. Now, she's a sinner. And I'm saying, the Lord said, pray for her knees. Oh, no. I said, it'd take three hands to cover one knee. You know how big a knee is? I mean, I just wanted to criticize. That woman got legs on. I'm talking, oh, Lord. I said, no. He said, pray for her knee. I said, Irene, what? And Kathy said, you going to pray for Mom? Oh, yeah, we're going to pray for Mama. So I prayed from afar. Heal her knee, Jesus. Touch her knee. Heal her knee. Why aren't you praying for me? Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. I told you, God, this is a heathen head. This woman is no good. She's no good. You pray for her. Do you know I'm her favorite son-in-law now? She got born again. I got a little bit more matured. I'm telling you, I now enjoy her company. And then the Lord, when my mom went home to be with the Lord in 1982, God said, now treat her like you treat your mama. You want me to buy her a car like I bought mama? Yeah. You bought your mama a car, didn't you? Yeah. Buy your mother a car. Oh. Did you buy your mama furniture? Yeah. Buy her all new furniture. Did you help your mama fix her house up? Yeah. Fix her house up. Okay. It just took time. But now, we enjoy each other's company. Because I realized that I had an undeniable, staggering power to control myself. And now she comes to my meetings. She's a partner to my ministry. It's just really amazing how it's all changed. And it's wonderful. So how did that hatred happen? I don't really know. Too many things. Who knows? I don't know. You know, devil just amplifies things. Now, my mother went home to be the Lord in 1982. I'll close with this. And they're taking my mom's body out of the hospital when a lady comes walk up to me, and I got my daddy on the side of me, and he's crying. I said, oh, Dad, this is Esther Toops. She's one of my partners. Oh, Brother Jesse, I love your ministry. I said, Esther, this is my father, Paul Duplantis. He goes, hello. Never seen her before in his life. 8 weeks later, he marries her. Oh, Lord.
He's living at my house and he starts coming in late. So I waited up for him. What's your problem? What you doing? You say, I'm dating. You dating? You can't be dating. You ever seen your daddy date? It's weird. He said, I'm dating Esther Toops. Esther Toops? Daddy, are you crazy? What are you doing? Well, I'm going to marry her. Daddy! And Kathy heard that. Kathy goes, I mean, swell up, get mad. My sister mad. Daddy said, would you marry me and Esther on the back patio of your house? Well, yeah, Dad. You sure you this is okay? You want to do this, Dad? Yeah. And my sister said, you're going to marry him? What do you want me to do? You want him to live in sin? Not in my house. They said, my house. You live here, you're going to do what I tell you to do. It was payback time. I loved it. I loved it. It was great. I married my father to Esther Toops with Kathy behind my dad and Esther. They all loved Esther. They all mad at Daddy. And my sister, and I said, Daddy, I should have called him Paul, but it just came out. Daddy, you take this woman. And it's Kathy and Deborah, my sister. I said, shut up, man. What is this? What is these swords? And I said, Daddy, you may kiss the bride. I thought he going to just, you know, did a little light peck. He double-lip locked that woman. I thought, my God, come put your hormones together, Daddy. What's the matter? You crazy? We had all kind of food for him. He said, oh, we got to go. We got to go. Left. Just left us. Kathy still's mad at him. What the? He lived with that woman 20 years. Married. Married to her for 20 years. Or 21 years, something like that. Esther went home to be with the Lord, what, a year and a half ago? My father is 84 years old. Okay? My daddy never calls me. It's just a the kids got to call him. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know, I don't know what it is. They don't call, you call. Now, me and Kathy, we call. We're a different generation. Right? Christmas Eve. He said, hey, Jesse. It's your daddy. And I ain't talked to him in, what, 8 months or a year? Traveling, you know, time to get away from him. He said, guess what? I got married. I said, you got married? He said, yeah, I'm a happy man. I said, Daddy, what are you saying? He said, Jesse, she's 55. I said, she's 55. I said, that's the same age as Kathy. He said, I'm a happy man. He's 84 years old. It shocked me. I said, when did you do this? I said, did you invite Wayne, my smallest brother? No, I didn't invite nobody. It's my business. Do what I want to do. Just want to let you know. I'm a happy man. Click, hung the phone up. My brother is 60. I called my oldest brother. I said, Wayne, did you know Daddy got married? He said, can you believe it? He ain't invited any of us. I said, what she look like? He said, she ain't bad. I went, whoa. I said, she ain't bad. No, she ain't bad. When Kathy found out, my sister, all over again. And the other day, now she's 55, same age as Kathy. Kathy says, Jesse, let's go see your new mama. Let's see my new mama. Let's go see your new mama. I say, repent, woman. Daddy said, I'm a happy man. Call me back up. I know what he's looking for. He's looking for some support. What you think about that, Jess? What you think about that? I said, well, Daddy. Everybody has a right to be happy. He said, I'm a happy man. I said, that's good, Daddy. I'm glad you're happy. And I said, I'd like to meet her. He said, we're going to come to your 30-year celebration. Said it was supposed to come on a Friday night. All right? About 5 o'clock. So I could meet this new mama.
This lady tried to be nice. Hello. I don't even know her name. See? Nothing. They show up on Thursday night. Service starts at 7 and 3 minutes to 7. He walked in. He said, hey, Daddy. I said, hey, Daddy. My daddy's short. I said, hey, Daddy. I said, which? There was a bunch of women. Which one? He said, just did my wife. I went, I wanted to look at him. I just kept my face straight. Hello. What do you say? All of a sudden, he said, Brother Jesse, you got to start. 5, 4. I said, I got to go. So that we sat him, sit right close, you know, like football. They were like right over there. And my oldest brother was with him and his wife. They were there. So I said, my father's here and he's, I said, what's your name? That's what I said. I didn't know her name. Everybody go, oh, I can't believe you said, I didn't know her name. I said, look, I just met this woman myself. I look at my brother Wayne. I said, she ain't bad. Wayne said, I'd have dated her myself, but you know, daddy married a woman. Can't get over that. She's a sweet lady. She's a wonderful person. She said, your daddy needed me. I said, okay. I said, now, daddy, if you give me another brother or sister, that's it. I can't believe. He goes, ha, 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 I'm a happy man. Well, everybody has a right to be happy. That's all we can say about that. We're all shocked about it, but I'm glad he's happy. I said, what you going to become, a modern day Abraham? He said, well, his last wife had 5 kids. I said, shut up, daddy. We ain't talking about no 5 kids. Good Lord. I said, I would never tell you to shut up, daddy. But come on, Jesus. He just laughs. I'm a happy man. I said, you look different, daddy. He said, my new wife got me some new teeth. You want to look at them? No, no, I don't want to look at them, daddy. You just take them out. No, I don't want them. Just leave them in there, daddy. Look good. You look good. I'm a happy man. You know what? My father believes the word of God. He really does. He don't talk death. He'd probably be here for the rapture. With another woman, probably. He just outlives them, man. I told him this in front of everybody. I said, you know, daddy, boy, everybody was looking. I said, you know, the dead in Christ going to rise first. So mama going to hit the clouds. And you know mama. I said, and then a few seconds later, here come Esther. I said, mom and Esther, daddy. I said, now I really believe you and, what's your name? Joyce. Yeah. Y'all going to hit the clouds. I said, I know what mama going to say.
Paul. Who them women? My daddy gonna say, I ain't never seen them before in my life. I don't know y'all. I know my daddy. He'll back off, son. He'll back off. Mama.
I don't know how God gonna handle that.
But I wanna be there. I wanna be there. I am looking forward to that day. I'm gonna go. And that's my mama. Did you marry him?
No.
Probably the first lie in heaven. Oh, God help us.
This undeniable, staggering power of the church. He believes you can do these things. He honestly does. I quote the scripture, go do the work that I do and do it greater, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that what I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do it. But ladies and gentlemen, I take that at face value. Did you enjoy it tonight?
Yeah.
Give the Lord a hand clap tonight.